Well, thank you for having me this evening to come and speak. It's great to be back in Warwick after spending so long in London. Do you reckon that's going to be okay? Thank you, Jamie. Sorry I didn't get the memo about this acoustic session, so you're going to have to look at the screen. I should have printed off PowerPoint slides.
Thank you.
That's great, thank you. So my topic today is stepping out in words and actions. It can be easy to think when we hear teaching about how we should be stepping out in words and actions, that we think of stepping out of a boat. We've just sang Oceans, how we think that we should be stepping out of some sort of boat, perhaps every day, healing the sick, curing leprosy on each street corner, making disciples of every nation with our friends coming to Christ every day. We can become switched off, perhaps, or discouraged. I know that I have been discouraged when I don't see my friends come to Jesus every day. And perhaps we will think that this sort of stepping out of the boat to walk on water is for sort of a spiritual elite or some sort of super holy people, if they even exist. And then I have thought that I will never be like that. I will never be good enough to do that. We can even think thoughts that are wrong, like I don't pray enough to be this holy to heal people and step out somehow in my faith and actions. I don't go to church enough to do that. That's another wrong thought. These things are like healing people are good. They should not be considered in the past, I don't think, and it's certainly what we should be aspiring to. But the Bible is clear that we're not excluded from this group who should be living with faith for God, even as we live much of our everyday life in a workshop, in a classroom, or in an office. In fact, stepping out in faith and actions can be just living as best we can every day, trying our best in everything to stop sinning and to live a life that God asks us. And we will be looking at how God can ask us to do things and a potential response to that in a parable that Jesus told. Thank you, Pete. So in that story, Jesus told a very similar story. They're not exactly the same. He finished it with a question. Which son did what was right? Which of the two sons did what the father wanted? It's not important what we'll say we do, but what we actually do. In this story, there were two groups of people, two sons. Those that had said no to God, but then they came to God, and those who had said yes to God, but then they did not come to God. Those who came to God repented and believed in him. They turned away from pleasing themselves and lived to please God. One of these sons acted on their faith and stepped out for their father and for their father with their actions. They trusted in God when they left what they were doing. When the son left his PlayStation game, he was trusting that God had good things for him, trusting that the father had good things for him. In the passage I've just put up in Matthew, this is the parable that Jesus told. The son in the passage is working the vineyard. It is faithful obedience when the son goes to work in the vineyard. But just working in a vineyard isn't stuff that you'll find in a Christian best-selling book. It's not an action that will result in a novel or an epic story. This action is just simple obedience. I'll reference more from God's word, and I'll ask that it helps us to learn and understand it. Father, I thank you for giving us your word, and I ask that you will help us to learn from it and apply it to our everyday lives. Amen. Oh, so we're in the book of James. I've got a James fact file for you. James was the brother of Jesus. You can find more information about James in Acts chapter 15. After Peter moved from Jerusalem, James took over the church there. James was a great leader for 20 years, where there were many trials. And James led very well until he was murdered, finally. He then wrote a book for us. James was there in the Sermon on the Mount. He was the brother of Jesus. He also would have known the book of Proverbs, and his book of, that he wrote to us draws heavily from both of those. So this is James chapter 2. I'll read from it. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by deeds, by actions, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good, even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. I would recommend reading any book of the Bible, but in particular James. I would recommend to you, it'll rattle your cage and hopefully make you think about your own faith and reflect on it. James is showing and explaining through his whole book what genuine faith looks like, and that we're called to a wholehearted devotion to the way of Jesus. But what can we get from this text in particular? What can we get from this to help us? We see how good faith is without deeds or actions that go with it. What good is faith without deeds? James is showing us that the faith is flawed without us acting on it. That is, without us actually acting in a way that God asks us to, our faith is no good. If we say that we're one of God's people with our mouths, if we think that just saying we're his makes us his, even if we do some things that are good with our lives, but do not give our entire life to God, ultimately that faith is no good. It's like me saying to someone, yes, I love you, and I give you my life. I could even say that to one of you. And then if I never spoke to them, or perhaps worse, of course, sin is much worse than someone not talking to somebody. It's more like me punching you in the face or stabbing you in the back repeatedly. These actions clearly undermine the words that come out when I say I love this person. Can this flawed faith save us? There we go. I can't speak for God, but God has spoken in his word. God knows what is truly in our heart. He offers salvation as a gift to those who put their faith in him. God sees our hearts and knows whether our faith in him is genuine or not. If we look elsewhere into the teachings of Jesus, I've just put up Matthew 7:21, we can see that there'll be certainly people who have put their trust in Jesus, who have said that they trust Jesus, but at the end Jesus will have no choice to reject them, but to reject them. This is a serious issue. Rejection for eternity is not a minor point. Jesus will have no option but to ultimately reject us if we reject him. Good faith is one that reflects what Jesus has asked us to be like. We must look to what he has said to see how we should be. Ultimately, flawed and dead faith will not save us. What does dead faith look like? This is from the passage of James I just read out, where dead faith is described as not helping people, not loving. Here we have someone who's cold, and someone who has said that they have faith in God has not helped them. None of us are perfect. All of us are guilty of being unloving at some point in our lives, but having no desire for this to change or wanting to improve, us having constant sin that is unrepentant, despite what we say to God, this is dead faith. I suppose most of you have probably picked up a rotten apple. It looks promising, perhaps there is a shiny surface, but when you pick it up, it squashes under the force of your hand. The inside is festering and it stinks. We would then be like this rotting apple, with our sin rotting us from the inside. God can see our inside. Perhaps others can only see our surface, but God can see our festering core. Surely then we should be wary of our faith becoming dead, looking for Jesus for help, constantly to try and live for him. Or we can also see that faith is made complete by our actions. Even the demons get that God is real. Us knowing that he is there and acknowledging that he is there is not enough for us to have a relationship with him. However, Abraham and Rahab are considered righteous when they act out their faith. Abraham went to sacrifice his son, and Rahab offered lodging to the spies. That is to say that those who say they believe but then do not change their actions are still not right with God. The heart must change, and we must acknowledge that the way to live for God is the best way. By changing our lives and turning towards Jesus, this act of repentance will bring us the righteousness that Jesus has achieved for us, which means we'll then be right before God. But we must be careful. Please do not misunderstand me. After all this, we must never think that it is our actions themselves that justify us or make us right before God. Those of you who were listening this morning or concentrating will know that I read out Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9 this morning to Hannah. These verses are entirely true, and we are saved entirely by grace, which is God's gift to us. God paid the price for us. It's not to say that any action or any collection of actions themselves make us proper, but our attitude and heart must be in the right place. Our actions and words should reflect what God has called us to. Not only will this prove our faith, but it will help something even bigger than that. Our words and actions will make us all into a distinctive group of people. Us all living with integrity, when we share the gospel to people, we will be truly shining a light into their lives. People will see the gospel in everything that we say and do. Thinking back to the parable of the sons, which son might we be? If we look honestly at ourselves, which son do we act like? Have you ever thought you could get away with pretending that our heart is in the right place? The Bible is clear that God isn't an idiot. If we have a heart that is far from him, and we try and pull the wool over his eyes, we won't get very far. This is Luke 12, when Jesus is talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They have tried to pull the wool over everyone's eyes, and Jesus has said that there will be a day when everything will be exposed. So what should we do? What is our response to this? Firstly, we should look at ourselves. We should see that we are sinful and broken. We should then look to Jesus. And what does he say? What has he done for us? The consequences of our sin has been paid for with Jesus. It took the perfect death. It took the death of a perfect man to pay for our sins. This death was not a cheap price to pay. It wasn't a tenner, an hour's work for God. It was the excruciating execution of God himself. Nothing that we will ever do could ever come close to that. If we try and work to be perfect, we will always be blemished and tainted. We will still be rotten to the core with the sin that penetrates us. But we can do our best to love Jesus with all our heart. And that is what God asks for. Our best, our all, and nothing less. We will no doubt fail at this, but God's grace is there for us when we fail. Given the huge sacrifice that God has made, it is a fitting response to try our best. I'll pray. Father, I thank you for these words that you've given to us. I thank you for the challenge that they present. I ask that you all help us to understand them in the light of the rest of the Bible. Help us to act accordingly with what you've done for us. Help us to be a shining light into other people. Help us to see the change that you've made in our lives, Lord. Amen. If any of you have been struck by what you've heard tonight, then members of the church will be able to chat and pray for you. Also, if you have any questions or challenges for me, given what I have said, I'll be happy to hear them and we can talk about that. I will be around for a while, so feel free to ask me. I'm aware that trying to talk about works and faith is a difficult topic, but I hope I did it justice. I think the band can come back up. I don't know what happens next.